Blog Talk Radio.
Talk with ML Rusak. Filling in this evening is your host, Myron Grace. We have author Carla Javonin on the line. Carla, is that how you pronounce your name?
Yes, you nailed it.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm definitely happy about that. Carla, can you tell me, and maybe a few words or a couple of minutes, tell us what started you in writing, or what life event started you in writing? Even did you know you wanted to be a writer when you were younger, or did something happen to make you become a writer?
Well, that's a terrific question, Myron, and thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. I never really did much writing as a kid or as a young and middle-aged woman. But I abused alcohol for 20 years, and the last couple of years of my youth, it got really out of control, and I was in and out of detoxes and rehabs and lost everything, kids, the house, the job, the career, the medical license, all of these things that just kind of kept falling off because of my drinking. And the very last straw was I nearly died of alcoholic ketoacidosis, and made a decision one night sitting in my walk-in closet. Was I going to take every pill in there and just be done, or was I going to try to get this right and get sober and figure out life without booze? And I, for some reason, made the choice to try to get better, and I did. And I'm now just a little over 6 years sober, and within the last year and a half, someone just suggested that, you know, Carla, your story is really from the depths of despair up into sort of a happy recovery, and you should really write about it. So I toyed about it, and I did.
All right, now, we're on the phone, author talking with ML Rusak, filling in host Myron Grace. We're talking to author Carla Javonin, discussing what life events led to her writing. Well, Carla, how did you start? What gave you the courage to tell the story? I know someone asked you to do it. And by the way, I know a few publishers that might be interested in spreading the word a little more, just to throw that out there. That's a real deep story, but what gave you the courage to take the first step?
I run a lot of meetings around here, and when people from the meetings started just saying, you know, your story could be really helpful, you could help people, you could really help people. I'm a physician assistant, so I work with patients, and I'm kind of a healer by nature. So the idea of pushing through my fear about writing, or my fear about trying to get the word out, or you know, market myself or all that, I just had to sort of push through that and just start writing. And as soon as I figured out the way to start the book, kind of the hook, it all just fell out, and it was done within a month.
Right. Author Carla Javonin. You know, I can, on Author Talk with ML Rusak, fill-in host Myron Gray, I, too, was an alcoholic. I can relate. I've been clean from drugs and alcohol for about 10 years now. I can relate.
Congrats.
Well, congrats to you as well. I can relate, but I know from my own personal experience there were life events that occurred that made me turn to drugs and alcohol. Tell us what, if, without without going too personal or even giving the book away, tell us what happened? What made you take your first drink? First of all, tell us the name of the book. We never even mentioned the name of the book or how to get it.
Yeah, the book is called From the Brink of the Drink, and it's available on Amazon and anywhere books are sold. And a smaller publisher from Arizona had picked it up, which was just thrilling. And so it was released late last summer, and it just still seems
well,
amazing that I actually have a
house. Random House in my case.
You said a smaller publisher
in Arizona, yeah, right?
Yeah, it's called Brighton, and they're fantastic. I've really had nothing but wonderful experience with them. But, of course, I have nothing to base it on. But you asked me about life events that might have led to my drinking. I don't have some major trauma to describe or, you know, some event where my parents were killed or, you know, anything like that. I actually had a fairly idyllic childhood, and it was, for me, a deep-seated fear of failure and of not being good enough and just not feeling like I was worthy. And the alcohol, I noticed when I was young how it made people seem to loosen up and relax and laugh more. And so I had a real, I guess, glorious idea of what alcohol could do for me. And so I was 12 when I first tried it alone. By myself, and it worked. And so there I was, you know, kind of a little girl, and at night, only at night when everyone else was asleep, and I couldn't sleep, and all those horrible thoughts about that I wasn't good enough and that I wasn't doing everything I should be doing, I wasn't doing things well enough, well, the alcohol really helped me with that. And so I found that it worked, and so at night I would take my little juice glass of whatever liquor my parents had the most of in their closet and chase it with cookies or something else a 12-year-old might otherwise like, and that would finally put me to sleep. And that's kind of how I utilized alcohol for the majority of my teenage and younger adult life, up until age 39 when I got sober. And it just was this sneaky, gradual thing where it was, you know, the juice glass to go to sleep at night. But then that turned into, of course, in college, it was more that I needed to get the same effect. And fast forward to a career, two kids, a marriage later, a nasty divorce, and the alcohol did not help anymore. It was hindering because I was using it so much. And it was life or death, and like you said, I had to make a decision that, okay, I choose life, and so I did.
Author Carla Javonin on the Author Talk with M.L. Rusak, with your host, Myron Grace, filling in, talking about her book. Carla, can you give us the name of the book again?
From the Brink of the Drink.
From the Brink of the Drink. And I always ask authors, how did you come up with the title? From the Brink of the Drink.
There were so many things, so many times, I think, when I would use the sentence, I was on the brink of death. I was on the brink of losing everything. I had lost almost everything you can possibly lose without in my life, the brink. And then it just kind of made sense that I was on the brink because of, or, you know, from the drink. And so I changed it around from the brink of the drink because I've moved past that, which is really awesome. And the reason I wrote the book was to show that other people can. If I could get past this, if I could get healthy, if I could get back all that I lost during my alcoholism and then some into more of a authentic, genuine, happy life, it is truly possible for anyone, and that's the message I want to get out there. It's not easy, but sobriety is a heck of a lot easier than when I was heavy drinking and hiding it and all that. That was a lot of work comparatively.
Author Carla Javonin on Author Talk with M.L. Rusak, fill-in host Myron Grace. talking about her book, From the Brink of a Drink, available all over the place. But, Carla, you're discussing basically drinking as a coping mechanism to set off any feelings of failure or fears that you have in life. What do you think? And I know drinking, they say drinking give all people courage, but what do you think made that be the choice? I mean, I heard you say that you saw people around you, it gave them courage and made them popular and things like that. But for you, on a personal level, what was it that actually made you choose that path to be like those people?
Well, it did look kind of glamorous and fun. And then from the very first moment, in that very first night when I slept well for probably the first time in my life, I had even been a colicky infant who screamed apparently for the first 10 months of life and just never could let my brain unwind. So as soon as I found something that worked to unwind that brain, let me relax, let me sleep, I was like, oh God, where has this been all my life, you know? And it was socially acceptable, and we didn't have any alcoholics in my family or anything, so I didn't quite understand that this could turn into a serious problem. I didn't know that, you know, 1 in 5 people who ever takes a drink turns into alcoholic. I certainly didn't tell my kindergarten teacher, you know, oh, I want to be an alcoholic when I grow up. You know, not at all. But I just had found something that worked for me, and it was under decent control for a couple of decades. It still wasn't good. I still abused alcohol from the very first time I drank it, but I didn't drink necessarily to get drunk. I drank to sleep or to knock myself out.
Right. I understand. Carla Vonin, talking about her book, From a Brink of a Drink, available everywhere, Amazon and everywhere else. You basically saying that for you it was more of a sedative to help you sleep.
Correct.
To help you relax. You didn't necessarily take the drink to become a party girl or whatever. So
not at all. In fact, I avoided that scene.
You missed all the fun. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I did some, you know, stuff in high school and here and there in college, and of course your weddings and things, but I always kept it under very good control in front of other people. It was when I was alone when I could just truly drink the way I wanted, the amount I wanted, without fear of judgment, and with the sole purpose of passing out.
Author Carla Giovanna, her book, From the Brink of a Drink. What would you say, and I know you're telling your story, and the publisher you mentioned got it out there as far as he could, you know, but just so you know, the difference between a major publisher, they have about 500 to 1,000 bookstores in any geographical region. But what I wanted to say was, what would you say to someone who might listen to this interview? What would you say would be the most encouraging thing about your book, From a Brink of the Drink, of a Drink?
Oh, well, thank you. That's another great question, Myron. But I think the biggest thing about my book is that it's not, it's a memoir, but it's not your classic drunkalogue or, you know, addiction novel, which is 9/10 about the party or the horrors of the use or the, you know, different stupid things that are done or, you know, sexual indiscretions or all that. There's some of that, of course, in my memoir, but I would say about a third of the book is focused on sort of how did I get turned into an alcoholic? How did that happen to me? I had, you know, a career, a master's degree. I was practicing medicine. I had 2 beautiful kids and a gorgeous home and all this stuff. Looking from the outside in, it looked, I'm sure, enviable. And I guess my point there is that it can happen to anyone. It can be very sneaky. An alcoholic is not necessarily some grungy guy under a bridge with his paper bag around his bottle. You know, it can turn into that, but that's not the norm. The norm is somebody who you wouldn't necessarily even look at and think, huh, they have a problem. But I guess the book focuses two-thirds on the solution that I found personally, what worked for me, how did I get out of this, and, you know, kind of takes a reader step-by-step through the process I use and continue to use. And that's not necessarily the only process. In fact, I make that very clear. There are many, many ways to try to do recovery and to successfully do recovery. And what you use, Myron, is probably quite different than what I use, and that's okay. I just put it up there as far as what did I do, what do I do, how do I stay sober, how do I stay happy without booze in my life. And again, the resounding theme is hope. I was pretty bottom of the barrel, and if I could crawl out of it, so can you. That's what I would tell your reader or your listener.
From a Brink of a Drink, author Carla Giovanni. That's the last part of the interview that I want to ask you. For you, you said that the word named hope was what living without alcohol made you feel. Like you could change things, you had hope. But is there anything else that you think that you used, or any coping mechanisms that you used to pull yourself out of a bottle?
Of course. Another great question. You do definitely know what you're talking about with recovery. Well, some people just are able to quit cold turkey and that's it. Me, I had to go through four detoxes and three inpatient rehabs before it finally stuck for me. The change in why it happened that I actually found recovery the last time, I think was just that I was ready, and I was finally to the point in my life where it was either get sober or die. And I didn't do what I had done previously in rehab and detox, where these well-meaning educated people tell me what to do. You know, you should go to these meetings and you should do that and you should take this medicine and you should blah, 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 blah. I did not want to follow any recommendations that they had set forward the first couple of times through. And the last time when I realized, all right, I'm going to die if I don't quit this, I just stopped fighting it. I stopped trying to make my own rules about this. I just listened to and followed the instructions of the counselors, and then got a sponsor as soon as I came back here. And all sorts of programs have sponsorship or mentorship, and I'm not going to talk about any specific program, just other than to say that I do loosely follow a 12-step program, which is the basis of a lot of different recovery communities and treatment options for any type of addiction, whether it be pornography or alcoholism or other drugs or eating. A lot of these plans follow 12-step program, and I did find a couple of the steps particularly helped me significantly. And basically the gist of that is I'm not in control very much, just me. And if what I control is putting out a good ripple effect rather than a bad ripple effect, you know, helping people, using my experience to try to shine a light on hope, that's what I wanted to do. And so I still, to this day, I lead meetings, I go to meetings, I meet with a sponsor, I have sponsees, I take meetings to a local county jail, I go up to a treatment center nearby that's well known and speak there. And I have a couple of websites. One is specifically for healthcare professionals who are in recovery or have a desire to recover, who may be very frightened about coming forward that they have a problem because your medical license is on the line. I know. I lost my medical license, my national certification, my DEA registration. I lost it all and my job. But I did gain it all back. It was painstaking, but I did. And I tell you what, I don't take it for granted at all like I used to.
I understand. Author Carla Giovanni, From a Brink to a Drink. From the Brink of a Drink. I'm sorry, listeners. from the brink of a drink. Author Carla Giovanna telling her story. I think you did a good job, and I really do think you did a great job of telling your story. But Carla, what, finishing up the interview, what would you like to say to any readers from a personal note, or tell them something about you, or give a shout out?
Yeah, oh gosh, that's kind of like getting an award at a show and not realizing you're going to get the award. There are so many people that I'm grateful for, because this recovery gig, as much as I tried to do my life before and my drinking alone, this is not to be done alone, at least not for me. It's the opposite of isolation. It's getting out there and immersing myself. But my mom, my angel mother, put up with so much for me. My father, my beautiful sister, Crystal, all my friends from back home and recovery friends, everyone at the Thursday night meeting, and most importantly, my kiddos and my husband, Eric. They have just been so wonderful and so gracious and so forgiving and so supportive. I couldn't do it alone. And I guess what I'd like to say is, you just heard all these wonderful things about my life today that I just said in the last minute. I did not have any of that when I was at the end. None. Even mom wasn't taking my calls much. That's how bad I had blown it up, you know, but it's all reattainable. So if you're out there and you're feeling hopeless and you're feeling at the end of this 2019, like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I got to stop drinking. I don't know if I can. I'm telling you, you can.
Absolutely. Carla, you're an inspiration. I'm sure. I'm just going to throw it out there again. There's some larger publishers that wouldn't mind telling your story on a larger scale, but that's up to you. But I'm going to throw that opportunity for you once again. I want to thank you, author Carla Giovanna, for coming on the Author Talk with ML Rusek, with your host, Myron Grace, filling in to talk about your book, From the Brink of a Drink. And can you tell people how to get in touch with you?
Sure. You can reach me at my website, which is called fromthebrink.org.
Fromthebrink.org. Well, you're truly an inspiration, Carla Giovanna. And thank you for coming on Author Talk with ML Rusek, but in this case, fill-in host Myron Grace. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Myron. I really appreciate the time and the opportunity to do this.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.